Perek Ches, Mishnah Dalet. Hamamne imo achirim bechalko. If you have a group of people that set up a Korban Pesach for themselves, let's say, for example, you have a group of 10 people, and then the 10th guy goes and decides to invite a bunch of his friends to join the group, to join the Korban Pesach. So the group's not happy with this. He did it, you know, without even informing them, and they're not interested in all his friends eating with them. So the halacha is, Rashan b'nei chaburo litin lo ashalo, the group could go to this 10th guy and say, here, take your portion, v'ocha mishalo v'ocha mishalahend. And he could take, the 10th guy could take his portion, you know, gather his friends that he invited, go to another house and eat their Korban Pesach there. So he would eat with his friends over there. And then the first group, the original group, would set themselves, you know, separate themselves from this guy and his friends and eat it on their own in their own house. And the idea here that they're bringing out is that we learned earlier in Parag Zion, Mishnah Yud Gimel, that there were different halachas about when you're making a group, when you're forming a group to eat a Korban Pesach, you know, how the group could be divided, whether it be a group, whether it be an individual. And the point that the Mishnah is bringing out over here, that one group is permitted to divide themselves and eat it in two different houses, it's Isla Haytana, Pesach Nechal, Bebez Chaburos, that this Tana, the author of this Mishnah, he holds that, and this is how we hold, that you could take a Korban Pesach of a group, divide the group in half, and have them eat it in two separate houses. It's not a problem. So over here, when they made one group initially, and one of the guys decides to invite a bunch of his friends, and the group's not happy with it, they could say, hey, get out of here, take your friends and take your Korban Pesach, eat it in another house, and we'll just eat our Korban Pesach over here in this house, and it's not going to affect the Korban, it's totally fine, and it's permitted to do that. So it's a short Mishnah. Okay, moving right along to Mishnah Hay. Now, Mishnah Hay is quite... Mishnah Hay comes along with quite a lengthy introduction from the Kahati as he expounds upon the rules of a Zav and a Zava. A Zav and a Zava, and also a Nida, these are different types of people that have different kinds of emissions from their body and give them different statuses of Tumah. Then there's various different forms to, various different processes to rid themselves of that Tumah. I'm not going to go through the whole introduction now on the recording because it is very long. I do encourage you, if you want to get more clarity in it, to go through it either, you know, on the app that goes along with this email, the Hebrew or the English, whatever works for you. If you do want to hear a recording of the introduction, just ping me a request. I'll be happy to record it. But for now, we're going to go just straight into the Mishnah and go through the basics. So here we go. Zav, Shira'a, Shtei Re'iyos. So if you have a Zav, which is a male, a person, a man, who has a certain kind of emission from the body that makes him tummy, and he sees two re'iyos, he sees it two times. So either he sees these two emissions on one day, or he sees it on two separate days, one after the other. The rule is he becomes tummy for 7 days, and then he doesn't have to bring a karban, meaning after the 7 days, he dips in a mikveh to purify himself. There's no special requirement to bring a karban to rid himself of this tumah. You'll see other cases he will have to bring a karban, not related to the Korban Pesach, just to rid himself of the tumah. So regular zav that saw two re'iyos, two emissions, whether both on one day or one on one day, one on the next day. So he's tummy for 7 days, right? Shochtin alav, the halacha is that you're allowed to shecht for him the Korban Pesach bishvi'i on his 7th day. Now, let's just say his 7th day fell out on Erev Pesach, right? So even though, let's just say the rule is that he's supposed to dip in the mikvah, and he doesn't become tar until the evening, which is really the next day, because the Jewish day starts the night before. So even though he's not going to become tar until really the nighttime, which is the next day, you could shecht Korban Pesach for him on his 7th day if it fell out on Erev Pesach, because he's going to be tar in the night. That's the halacha. The Gemara explains that we don't, she'en shochtim alav ela, We shecht it only after he dips. So let's say he dips, you know, sometime in the morning of the 7th day. We know he's not going to be totally pure until the nighttime. And the nighttime is already going to be day 2 in the Jewish calendar. And it's going to be the 2nd day of Pesach. Or really the 1st night of Pesach, because you shecht the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. So it's the 14th day. It's Erev Pesach. You're supposed to bring your Korban today. He's not going to become tar until the night, which is really the 15th. We'll allow to bring his Korban on the 15th for him, as long as he dipped in the mikvah. And even though he won't become tar till the evening, it's fine. We permit this. What about Ra'ah Shalosh? We saw three re'iyos, three emissions. So now, she'en ro'ah lechol mikorban ha'pesach. Now he can't eat from the Korban Pesach So it's not enough just to wait 7 days and dip in the mikvah and then become tar that night, which would be like the eighth night of his 7 day period. But now he also has to bring a carbon, a special carbon, to purify himself from these emissions. So now the halacha is shoch the love. You could shech the carbon pesach for him bishmini shalo. If his eighth day, right? Because now he waits 7 days and then he dips in the mikvah. And then he becomes tar that night, which is the eighth day. And then the eighth day he has to bring a carbon, not a carbon Pesach, a separate carbon to purify himself. So if this eighth day fell out on Erev Pesach, so Af Bishlo Hevi, even though he didn't even bring his carbon yet, but because we know he's going to be completely tar when he brings his carbon, we could shech this carbon Pesach on his behalf and help him fulfill the mitzvah of carbon Pesach for Pesach. The Gemara does say that he has to give his carbon that he would bring to be matar to purify himself. At least he has to give it to Beis Din so that we know that, you know, he's completing the process. But we don't have to actually, wait till it's shechted, and, we could already shecht the carbon Pesach for him because we know again he's going to become tar. The next case now is going to deal with a woman. So until now it was a man, now it's a woman. So what happens? Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. You have a woman who saw blood within the 11 days between Nida La Nida, between her Nida cycle, that she has to watch now, Yom Echa Betahari, she has to wait, she has to watch 1 day, make sure that she doesn't see any blood, Keneged, against the 1 day that she just saw saw blood. So she didn't see blood during her Nida period, but she saw it during the 11, basically the way it works is like this. In short, it's 18 days is like the cycle, 7 days of blood and then 11 days of, you know, of like a break, quote unquote. So if she saw the blood during that 11 day period, she has to wait 1 day and make sure she's clean to cleanse herself from that 1 day that she, that she saw blood. And then she could dip in the mikvah, and then she becomes tar in the evening. So if she saw blood on day one, she dips in the mikvah the following day, and then she dips in the mikvah that night, which is already the third day, and that's when she becomes tar, because again, she won't become tar until the evening. So let's say, for example, if she saw blood on Sunday, she waits till Monday, make sure she doesn't see any blood, and if she didn't see any blood, she dips in the mikvah on Monday and becomes tar, becomes pure Monday night, which is already like Tuesday, okay? So with that in mind, what happens if this lady, it's shocht and allah, you could shech the carbon pesach for her, bisheni shla, on her second day, meaning, hainu biyom shi shomeres oso betahara, la'acha shetavla, shari la'arev, mutarasi lechol bekachim. So same concept. She saw blood on Sunday, she dips in the mikvah on Monday, she's not gonna become tar until Monday night, even though she dipped in the mikvah on Monday. Still, if Monday is Erev Pesach, you could shech the carbon Pesach for her, even though she won't become tar until the night. What about Rasa? She saw blood Shnei Yamim. She saw blood 2 days in a row. So now she's Shomeres Yom HaShlishi B'Tahara. She has to wash the third day to make sure the third day that she's pure. And then she would dip in the mikvah that night. And then, she would dip in the mikvah that day and then become tar at night. Shochetan alas, you could shech the carbon Pesach for her b'shlishi. If her third day, after she dipped in the mikvah, fell out on Erev Pesach, you could shech the carbon Pesach for her then. Again, she dipped in the mikvah, but she's not going to become tar until the evening. Even so, you could still shech the carbon Pesach for her on Erev Pesach for her third day, in the case where she saw blood for 2 days, and she's watching 1 day, the third day, in Tahara to make sure she's pure. So once she dips in the mikvah, you could shech the carbon Pesach for her, again, even though she won't become tar until the evening. And then lastly, the Hazava, if this female saw blood 3 days in a row, okay, and this is within the 11-day period between her Nida cycle, so now she has to count 7 days to be clean, not just 1 day, 7 days to be clean, dip in the mikvah on the seventh day, and then bring a carbon on the eighth day to complete her purification process. So Shoch Nala Bishmini, if her eighth day fell out on Erev Pesach, so even though Shalohivi Adanas carbon kapras, even if she didn't even bring her carbon yet, you could still bring the carbon Pesach for her, because we know she'll bring the carbon Pesach later on, and complete her tahara process. Again, we have to know that she gave the carbon to Beis Din, so we know that she's not going to be negligent if I get to do it. But as long as she gave the carbon to Beis Din, we know she'll complete her tahara, her purification process. And therefore, we could check the carbon Pesach for her if her 8th day fell out on Erev Pesach and, help her fulfill the mitzvah of carbon Pesach. So the idea that's mentioned in the Mishnah over and over again is basically you have people that are in a tummy state, in a defiled state, that can't bring their carbon. But we know that in the evening, they'll become pure. So we could bring the carbon now for them, their carbon Pesach, to help them fulfill the mitzvah, even though they're tummy now, technically. But since we know they'll be tar in the evening, we're able to do this on their behalf. So that's the principle, the general concept that's repeated in the Mishnah in various different cases. And that's the takeaway. But again, I do encourage you to go over the introduction from the Kahati, whether in English or in Hebrew, to understand what a Zav is and what a Zava is and how this whole cycle works. And if you do want to receive a recording of it, just ping me and I'll be happy to do it for you. And that wraps up today's Mishnayos.